Welcome to Bridge the Gap with hosts Lucas McCurdy and Joshua Crisp, a podcast dedicated to informing, educating, and influencing the future of housing and services for seniors, powered by Markentum.
All right, here we are. We are on Bridge the Gap podcast. It's an exciting day. We are here at Trump National in Miami, you guys just completed Health Tech here. And just an exciting panel of people. I've got to hear just some stories from you, Josh. Josh, give me just a little bit of kind of an update of how the conference went and kind of what your thoughts are.
Yeah, so I think it has been an exhausting and exciting week, a productive week here in Miami. Weather has been beautiful. We haven't enjoyed much of the weather this week because we've been in meetings. We've been at this invitation-only conference, yes, which is really exciting. So you bring together great partnership vendors and suppliers with CEOs. You also, in addition to kind of making those relationships happen, we get a lot of great content, a lot of panel discussions. Mm-hmm. Our guest, which you'll hear more from here in just a little bit, Jeff, we had an awesome discussion on our panel, which hopefully we have a chance to talk about that a little bit today. Yes. But everybody's kind of going their separate ways. This morning, everyone was flying out early to get caught back up on business and wrap up the week. So here at Bridge the Gap, we're kind of just thinking through what we've talked about, some of the things this week. And I'm excited. I'm excited about the topic or topics that we have today.
Yes.
I'm excited about our guests. So tell us more about it.
And so it creates a great opportunity for, number one, for Josh and I to get back together and engage face to face. And so I am so just excited to get to meet Jeff. So Jeff Lefkovich of Heritage River Village Development. He is also a gerontologist and with a diverse background in a lot of different areas involving healthcare and senior living. And so it was just a natural right next step to have him on the show. So we're really thankful. And so just kind of getting into, so you two were on a panel this week at Health Tech. And so for those that weren't able to attend and be there, tell us about what you guys talked about, what happened afterwards, the kind of feedback that you got. And just kind of inform our audience about what this is all about.
So I'll let Jeff kind of elaborate more from his perspective, but I was excited because before the conference began, when I think Jeff and myself both got invitations, Senior Living News and the Health Tech Conference, literally because of, I think they recognized the passion and what Jeff was doing and the synergy of what I've been doing, they literally brought us together as provider-developer types. That's part of the beauty and part of what I'm so excited about is, you know, when you start talking about future of housing and what we're doing, I think Jeff and I have a very kindred spirit because we both believe the future of senior housing involves a lot of breaking down silos. Mm-hmm. So Health Tech is really a vehicle for that. It allowed Jeff and I to be able to be shoulder to shoulder with a couple other great panelists and literally just sharing our, we literally just kind of open the curtain and say, here's what we're doing. We don't have all of this figured out, mm-hmm, but together, collaboratively, we can work together to figure this out and talk about it. So Jeff, what did you think about it?
The panel itself, I thought, was a wonderful opportunity for us to just talk about the ideas and the models and just share among us, because what we're really addressing here is an agenda to move the industry in a direction that will eventually be more normal to everyone, more normal to the folks who are living there, who are working there, and just how the society in general sees the role of housing and support for an aging person. It's no longer something that's sort of segregated and set aside. It's something that is supportive of our natural human development journey. Mm-hmm. So this was really the first time for me to have an audience with Josh to talk about this and to see the reactions that we were getting back. And it was a real charge for us, I think.
I think so. So, you know, the feedback that you kind of alluded to there was very positive. I think for all of us, we had at different points people coming up to us together, people coming up to us separately. A little bit thought-provoking. So some of the things that we were talking about, others have kind of thought about it in different ways. And then others, it's not even on the radar. And so it was like light bulb moment. Some people are, I think, oftentimes kind of threatened because, you know, anytime you're talking about change or something that people aren't comfortable with, they're not comfortable with it, right? And so the discussions that we had after the panel, sometimes people are a little bit afraid to ask questions in a public setting, but it opened up dialogue, you know, outside of that conference room that's, I think, will be going on for a long time. We're able to build some relationships, sure, with not only folks like us working together, but partnerships in the room with some vendors, some suppliers, technology that's going to be needed, where maybe this wasn't on their radar, but you're talking with the decision makers, the engineers, the owners that are like, we believe in where you're going. Mm-hmm. We're going to work with you to develop a solution to make this easier to happen.
Well, and as an outsider, a partner vendor to the industry myself, I'm fascinated by this topic. And really, I mean, Josh, you were the one that has really introduced me to this conversation. And it's been a consistent theme in our podcast, not really intentionally, so to speak. And it just continues to come back up and come back up. And I'm fascinated that we continue to meet other people where it's like, hey, I'm thinking this way too. And so to have you two guys on the panel, I'm sure was an incredible experience. So let us in. Where did you guys kind of start off on the topic of multi-generational? And what does that really look like in a model perspective?
So I want to say, I think we probably both started at different points. So yes. For me, I'm an operator. I've been in the space, and it was more of seeing in the communities human interaction, things that are lacking from a housing perspective and design, also from a programmatic perspective, okay, what's lacking, and really a sense of it's not good to separate people just simply by age and acuity, and we need more than that. We need a sense of purpose, and we need more engagement. So there's a lot to talk about from my perspective. One thing I love about Jeff, and I'm like a sponge, is he's a gerontologist, right? So he studied this before he ever really started doing it. So he brings a whole unique approach. Actually provoked me some thoughts that, and it actually helps me define the why for me, that I did not even know that, but I was seeing that, but I didn't know why that was happening. So Jeff, I mean, talk about like how, what your journey's been.
Yeah, that's a very good point, and it has to do with the why. You talked a moment about how the notion of moving in this model is threatening to some folks in this industry, and it's because they're working with their own model and culture that works for them. It's easy to duplicate, and they just don't want to change out of that, and that's understandable. But here's the issue. The issue is that what we are doing isn't necessarily what people want. And I'm going to give you an example. There's a lot of talk about getting ready for the next generation, the baby boomers. We're serving the previous generations, and each of these generations have certain characteristics. It's based on the time period they were born, they grew up, major events that had taken place that they've all shared and experienced, social change and so forth. So there's a progression of characteristics between generations that's unique to the generation. But what I submit for everybody's consideration is the following. There is a human development journey that every one of us is experiencing together in our own way that transcends every generation. There are things that we are dealing with as individuals that have really nothing to do with the generation that we're part of. And what I'm referring to is the principles of human development. And what that means is that there's a set of requirements that each of us have that we may or may not be aware of. We don't really talk about too much because it is, again, something that we may or may not be aware of. But I'm going to list some things to discuss. First of all is that every one of us as individuals, we are works in progress from the moment we're born to the moment we pass. We have the capacity to grow and develop as an individual. Even as our bodies are changing and our bodies are declining, we have the capacity to learn and to evolve. We also have this need to be relevant, to be part of society, to be a contributing member of society, and that doesn't go away. What the challenge, though, is that society begins to see us as an older individual as irrelevant, mm-hmm. without really a role. But what I suggest is that, well, maybe society and social structure has become irrelevant to an aging person. And it's that social structure that really needs to modify and adapt, because all of us here and everyone that is viewing this are going to have the same feelings of needing to be relevant and be a contributing member. There's also the issue of control. There's a concept referred to as locus of control. And that means that as we age, we need to feel that we have control over what's happening to us and around us. That doesn't go away. And if we are in an environment where we feel that we don't have control, or we're getting beaten down by society and popular ideals and norms, and we don't have control over that, that's a very difficult thing. And for an aging person, it starts breaking down the spirit. So we have to be very mindful of that. Mm-hmm. Then there is another concept referred to as continuity of self. Continuity of self means that we could be a 40-year-old, we could be a 30-year-old, we could be a 40-year-old, 50, 60. The sense that we have of ourselves, how we see ourselves, the person that we know inside, doesn't change all that much. When we look at the mirror, like I did when, you know, at the conference when they took those pictures, I was thinking, that's not me up there, because, you know, I'm a hell of a lot younger than that person. That sense of who we are inside doesn't change, but the world outside sees us a lot different than how we see ourselves. What I submit to developers and operators is you really need to get to know the person. You need to know, understand, and embrace and respect the story. But there's a person in there, inside that body, who is very different than how it appears. So that's continuity of self. That is very, very important in this whole thing. And then there is the issue of this progression of aging mastery. A lot of people struggle with a point in their lives or their psyche where they're dealing with, they're kind of at a level of passive aging. They've sort of accepted what's going on. They don't feel that they have any control. They're somewhat withdrawn from society because they're really concerned about really themselves. And they're just letting things happen. Now, every once in a while, there is the notion of, oh, maybe I should take care of myself. Maybe I should eat better. Maybe I should go to the gym. And they'll try it, but there's really no commitment because there is a fear of change. There is a fear of stepping out of what they're used to. There is, so you start there, and unfortunately, a large segment of our population is at this lower end of the aging process. And then there is the aging mastery. And it's a progression of about six stages. So aging mastery is at a point where we have not only embraced a commitment to ourselves to live a healthy lifestyle, And it's self-perpetuating because we've tested it along the way. Am I going to go to the gym? Sure, I'll go to the gym. Well, that wasn't too bad. I kind of feel better after doing that. I'm going to try that again, and I'm going to eat well. I'm going to eat better, and I feel better because I ate well. It's reinforcement. Well, that reinforcement then becomes a lifestyle. And somebody who's at the point where they're really mastering and taking control of their aging process is now going from sort of inward thought to wanting to help other people and be supportive to other people. And they're far more engaged in what is going on culturally and socially. And we see that. We see different individuals along that spectrum within these communities.
Interesting.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
It is. So I feel like even just hearing this again, so I heard this, we shared this, I forget what setting, you know, afterwards we were kind of talking, and I feel like I've had maybe like a gerontology 101, but this is fascinating for me because I didn't come from a healthcare background, certainly didn't have a gerontology background, and I was kind of thrust into senior living operations and senior housing without understanding the why, but I was seeing a lot of the behaviors and then trying to figure out, this is bizarre.
How do you connect those things?
Yeah, why are the residents acting out in this way, or why when we create a mealtime or a process or a policy or a procedure or a design, why is this perceived as a negative, or why is there an acting out? But to have this foundational understanding where you're kind of categorizing, I guess, behaviors and development, as you called it,
human developmental process, which we all share. Human development process, which we all share.
Yeah, so that's fascinating to me, and I think, you know, that's even a bigger topic, because, again, coming simply up through being an administrator of a community, mm-hmm. a marketing director of communities, regional ops, running companies, you know, not having that educational background on human development and mm-hmm. processes, that's very valuable. So, we were talking at the conference. One of the panels was, you know, should our industry be raising the bar on education? Well, I think our immediate response is all of us like, yes. But I was surprised. Some of the people on the panel were saying, no, we're actually raising the bar so high that a lot of people that need into the industry with great creative ideas can't. So that even that topic is very diverse. But on this human development process is when you're dealing with humans, whether it's on the team member side, whether it's on the who you're serving, who your consumer is, what Jeff's talking about is just so relevant.
It seems like a very important piece, to use the phrase, like bridging the gap between that understanding of cognition and behavior and human development into a programmatic operations and just a holistic approach. So I would love to hear, because candidly, these are the first times I've been hearing these concepts. So I would love to know, how do you take that understanding and then marriage that with the actual practical day-to-day, either in your operations or your programs? How do you bring those things together?
From a community development perspective and an operation perspective, what the model that we are working on is a model that involves the creation of a community. And when I say community, I'm not attaching the terms senior to it. It is a community that has a range of housing types and housing arrangements with different types of services and supports for people of all ages. Now, for an aging person who is finding that the home environment where they are is now full of obstacles, which includes social isolation, there's an element to the community that they can move into, preferably affordably, mm-hmm. that has removed those physical obstacles and provide support to allow that individual to continue being the individual who they see themselves as. That it gives them the inspiration and the heightened spirit to continue pursuing either existing interests, or it exposes them to new interests. But the idea is that this is a community for all persons, regardless of age. But it is also a community that broadens the spectrum of community. It includes commercial, retail. It includes amenities and programs, activities that draws the greater community in. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing is you are creating spaces for everybody to share, and it's really up to the individual as to what they want to participate in. But it's no different than living in a neighborhood and deciding what kind of a lifestyle you want in that neighborhood.
Yeah. So, you know, again, I'm going to go back to the why. You know, when I talked with Jeff and got his perspective from this human development side, mm-hmm. that's meeting what we're talking about is meeting a need that was not necessarily my initiative driver, because I didn't even understand that. I see the results of that and wondering why that happens. Jeff helps me understand that. But I think there's also drivers, as we talked about on our panel, a whole lot of why, where we're looking at the next generation, and there's a lot of driving factors that are kind of I think forcing us to focus on a concept that is very validated through the human development process of what Jeff's talked about. For me, the why, which is probably more surface level, and it was more feasibility driven, was, you know, some of the things that we talked about, and there's a lot, which was simply preferences. And yes, my grandparents, who were, you know, we're currently that generation, we're caring for a lot of different just preferences. And a lot of those preferences probably, Jeff, were shaped, as you could tell me, as from the time they were born through their development phases, their human development phases, those were very different influences on them than my parents, who are the boomers, and they're going to be the next generation, which is where my passion is how do we care and not forget about this generation, but how are we relevant to the next generation? So there's this whole lifestyle preferences difference, but then you've got the whole economy that's also been shaped through the human development process and things like that. But you know what my grandparents and their peers, many of them prepared their whole lives for retirement. They lived very conservative, thrifty spending, because maybe factors like living through the Depression and many recessions that they saw that they needed to be very conservative. They weren't raised with credit cards. They weren't raised with technology, where my parents, you know, started technology, started credit cards, and were spenders, not necessarily savers. And they didn't have giant farms because they moved more than my grandparents. So those kind of things, I think, are changing. Well, what can the next generation afford? And Jeff and I talked a lot about, wow, you know, we've got a real problem, because the typical product, for lack of a better term, that we're delivering to consumers is gradually going up, and it's really tailored towards this generation who's prepared, who can liquidate a lot of assets. The next generation, not so much. So there's a lot of, even those are just a couple of things. Another factor was the labor force. Mm-hmm. Like our labor force, the labor demands, the not only the changes in the population, but also just the labor demands and what people's expectations and what they expect out of a workplace and an employer, and what they want to do, what they don't want to do, technology impact on that. All these factors are just turning the industry upside down, which is also motivating, mm-hmm. that whether we do it for the why of human development, which is really why I believe we should be at our foundation doing it. Mm-hmm. We got to first understand it. Yeah. But two, it's going to flip upside down whether we are intentionally ready for it or not. So timely conversations like we've had at Health Tech and some other conferences, relationships like right here exist in, at this podcast, and starting this conversation, carrying the conversation, it's also relevant.
That was part one of a two-part series with Jeff Lefkovich,
powered by Markentum.